Okay, we're doing the Pei Aleph in Erevin. We're going to start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Amabes. The Mishnah starts as follows. Kol ma'arvin u'mishtatfin. You could use any kind of food to make an Erev. Usually when the Gemara uses the Lashon, the Mishnah uses the word Erev, it means Erev Chatzeres, and the word mishtatfin usually means Shituf Mavois. So you're allowed to use any food in order to make the create the Shituf Mavois. Chutz minamayim minamelech, except for water and salt. This may sound familiar, as the Gemara is going to point out. Different Rebbe Loza says you can use anything besides salt and water. Rebbe Yeshua disagrees and he says, Kikar hu, Erev. In order to make an Erev, you have to use bread. Afilu, now he adds on another point, Afilu ma'afa saw, even if you have a loaf, which is a saw, which is, let's say, a relatively large piece, v'hu prusa, but it is broken, it's not a shalem, eim arvin bo. You can't use that as an Erev, so it has to be a davar shalom. Kikar ke'isr, but if you even have a loaf of bread, which is a little tiny little thing, b'hu shalom, and it's complete, marvin bo, you're allowed to use it. So, Rabbi Yeshua says two things. First of all, you have to use bread, and second of all, it has to be a davar shalom, it's not allowed to be a piece. So now, the Gemara says on the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, Tanina Chodazimna. Didn't we already learn this one time? It says B'chol Marvin Mishtatvin Chutz Minamayim Melamelch. We saw this already earlier on Daf Chavav that you can use anything you want except for water and salt to make an Erev. So why is the Mishnah over here in the seventh parak repeating it? So Amar Rabo LaFukim Midu Rabbi Yeshua. The reason why we have to repeat it over here is so that we don't get confused with Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. The Amar Kika in Mida Achrina Loi, because Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah says specifically that it must be a loaf of bread, and so therefore we need Kamash Malon Bakol. So that's why our Mishnah had to repeat it over here to say that you could use anything. So this is a little bit confusing, this Gemara, because it's backwards from your logic. So the way Rashi is Masvir is like this, that if you only had the Mishnah on Daf Chavov, you would have come to the conclusion that the Mishnah on Daf Chavav is only talking about things like Erev Tchumin and things like that. In which case, you're allowed to use anything. However, and assuming that the Mishnah over here is silent, we would have concluded that the Mishnah here that's talking about a Shituf Mavois or Erev Chatzeres, you would have been required to hold like Rabbi Yeshua Shita, where you have to use bread and nothing else. Kamash Malon, that's why this Mishnah has to come along and tell you, no, we're consistent. We agree with the Mishnah before, and we even agree with it to the point that over here also you could use whatever you want. It's not limited to bread. Again, this is a little bit confusing. So I would have thought, it's true that the Mishnah over there does say anything. It says you could use any type of food for any type of Erev. However, without the Mishnah over here, I would have understood that Mishnah to only mean Erev Tchumin. Now that I have this Mishnah also, of course that Mishnah does mean both, and this Mishnah also does mean both, but that's only after the fact that we already have both Mishnahs. Had I only had one Mishnah, I would have learned that single Mishnah to be talking about Erev Tchumin, and the Mishnah over here wouldn't have said anything, and I would have concluded that the halacha in this scenario is only talking about only bread is mutter, and no other foods. That's how Rashi is masber this Gemara. Yeah? Okay. Eisve. So now I ask you a stira. Omar Abaya. Abaya says, B'chol ma'arvin eru v'chatzeres, b'chol m'shtatvin shituf v'mavois, you're allowed to use anything to make an erev or shituf. V'loi omar la'arev b'pas, ela b'chotzer b'vad. They said that you only have to use bread. When do you have to use bread? When you're trying to make an erev and a chotzer. So now, man shamaslay de omar pas in midi achrin aloi. Who's the shita that says you have to use bread and you can't use on anything else? Rabbi Yeshua. It's going according to Rabbi Yeshua, as we just said in our Mishnah. Uktani bakol. And it says that you can use anything. Now the way Rashi again is masber this Gemara, bakol means not any type of food, but rather any type of bread. And the same way, Rashi adds in a lot over here, and the same way in the Brice of the word bakol means any type of bread, but in reality it's limited to bread, so too our Mishnah also could mean any type of bread, and it doesn't mean any type of food whatsoever. So why did you interpret our Mishnah to be coming up with the Chiddush to say that you can use any type of food whatsoever? So that's because of this price, we have to learn different pshat. Alamar Rabba Barachono, you're right. That's not, we weren't coming laafuke Rabbi Yeshua. Laafuke mid Rabbi Yeshua de Omar Shleim in Pusaloi. We would have thought, you're right, it's true, the truth of the matter is we repeat this Mishnah because we don't like what Rabbi Yeshua says, but a different point that Rabbi Yeshua made. Rabbi Yeshua also said, as we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, that you must use a sholem. You must use a complete loaf of bread. You're not allowed to use a broken piece of bread. Kamash malon bakol, to tell us that's why you have to use, that it could be anything. It could even be, according to our Tanah, the Rebbe Lozer, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, that you can use any type of bread. It doesn't have to be a Dover Shalom. So that is really why this Mishnah is repeated over here, to tell us that it doesn't have to be a Dover Shalom. Now the Gemara wants to know, what's the logic over here? Prutz of my time alloy. Why aren't you allowed to use a broken piece of bread? Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Shol, Amar Rabbi Mishum Evo. The problem here is that jealousy, because as you know, in order to make an Erev Chatzeres, as we learned in the earlier Mishnayos, everybody has to be Mishnatef. Everybody has to give a piece. Everybody has to join in. And the problem is, if you're going to have some people throwing in a little broken piece, and some people are going to put in a whole piece, there's going to be jealousy, and people are going to be upset that some people are contributing more than others. So that's why we say, you know what? Let's make it fair. Everybody has to give a full piece, and there won't be any jealousy. So Amalei Ravacha Bereidu Rava LeRavashi. So Ravacha said to Ravashi, Iruvu Kulam BePrusamau. So what if all of us get together and say, you know what? We'll all give a piece. We'll all just give one slice of a loaf of bread, and we won't give a whole loaf. Maybe that should work, because now there can't be jealousy. We're all giving the same thing. Amarlei, he says, no, we're not going to allow that Shema Yachzer Dava L'Kukula, because that will end up getting things into trouble. We'll end up getting back to where we started from. So we just keep the rule in place. Everybody has to give a Dava Shalim, and there's no jealousy here whatsoever. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Shol, Nitlahei Menu K'dei Chalosa, V'K'dei Dimua, Ma'arvin Loi Bo. He says, he makes a statement as follows. Now, we said that it has to be a Dava Shalim. How do you define a Dava Shalim? Not every single loaf of bread that you ever see is perfect, that there isn't a tiny drop missing. So he says that if it's missing the amount that you would need to take off in order to be yotze the mitzvah of challah. Now, typically you take off the challah before you bake it. But if, for example, you baked it before you took the challah off, and now you can't eat it because it has challah, which is like a truma mixed in, so you have to take off the challah. So if you take off the amount, the shear, that equals the amount of challah, that's not considered a chisaron in the loaf of bread. And demua is if you had trumas that or maisers that mixed into your load, and now you can't eat it because it has truma mixed in, so you have to take off a certain amount in order to matter the rest. Again, the point is that you're allowed to take off that amount, and it's still going to be mutter. So there's a whole clear in the Achrenim over here, whether you actually are only allowed if you take it off the Shem Challah, or now, according to the Rosh concludes that it doesn't even matter why you took off that piece. Since to everybody else getting the loaf of bread, they'll assume that the reason why there's a chasaron in this loaf is because you took off Challah. The reality is you could take it off for any reason whatsoever, and that's not a chasaron in the Shlemus. That's what the Rosh paskins. Very interesting. So in other words, I can take off that amount, and it won't interfere with the Divar Shalom. And the other Achrenim go into whether or not this applies to Lechem Mishnah also, whether it has to be a Dava Shalom or not. Some people say that a Dafka applies. Beis Yaakov says a Dafka applies, or Karban Asana rather, says it only applies when you're dealing with Eruv, but it wouldn't be true about Lechem Mishnah. A Lechem Mishnah Mamish has to be a Shalom. In any event, so that's his statement that you can take off a little bit, and that's not where people get angry. Tanya, we learned in the Brayisa, Kadei Demua Ma'arvin Loi Bo, says if you take off the amount, which is to make it kosher from Demai, Demua, because something got mixed in. So that's okay, because it's only 1 in 200. Kadei Chalsa Ain Ma'arvin Loi Bo. But if you're taking off 1 in 24th, that's a much, not a big amount, but a much bigger amount than a Demua, so then that's going to be considered a chesaron in the Shlemus. So Kasha, Kasha Habachalo, so the Gemara answers, no, it's not a problem. So the Gemara, sorry, lo kasha, it's not kasha. Ho b'chalas nachta, ho b'chalas balabais. It depends. There's two different shiurim, a very unique halacha that even though there's a din that you have to take off challah, but it depends on who's doing it. If you're a baker or somebody who's commercially selling them, so then you have to take off, we'll see in a second, 1/48. However, if you're a private person baking for yourself, you have to take off 1/24. The Tanaim, we learned in the Mishnah, shir challah, echem v'yesem v'arba. You have to take off the amount of challah is 1/24, because as the Gemara Chulin says, that's a davar chashiv. Ha'isa isa la'atzmai, and therefore if you're baking for yourself, the isa la'mishta, mishtas benoi, or you're baking for your son, but that's also a private affair. Echad me'asim v'arbo, that's 1/24. Na'achtoim, shehu isa limkar b'shok. If you have a baker who's making it commercially to sell, v'chein ha'isha she'asas limkar b'shok, even a private person, but they're making it, in this case, to sell on the market, echad me'arboim v'shmoneh, then it's 1/48. So that's when it's going to be mutter, because it's a small amount. So the Gemara itself says, challah depends on whether you take the big shear or the little shear. The little shear is not a problem. Amar Rav Chista, Tafra v'kisa ma'arvin loy bo. He makes another statement. Let's say you have a loaf of bread that fell apart. You sliced it in half, but now you say, you know what, I need a davar shalom. Can I take the two halves and stick them back together? So tafra means I sewed them together. I stuck a twig in there and I held them together. Is that considered one or not? Rav Chista said, that's fine, that's a davar shalom. So the Gemara asks, well, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Eimar ben Loibah. You're not allowed to use it if it's put back together again. So the Gemara answers, Loikash, Hadiyada Tifra, Hadiyada Tifra. It depends on whether you can tell. If you can tell that it was put back together again, then it's not a Davar Shalim. If you can't tell, and Lamaisa, it's holding together, that's good enough as a Davar Shalim. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Shmuel, Ma'arvan, Bapas, Iris. He says that you're allowed to use bread that's made out of rice. Bapas Duchen, and you're allowed to use bread that's made out of millet. Amar Maruk, Viladim, Fashal, Laminei, Davar Shmuel. He explained, what did he mean by this? Bapas, Iris, Ma'arvan law. Ma'arvan, you could use if it's made out of rice. Bapas Duchen, Ein Ma'arvan. He says you can't use it if it's made out of millet. So he disagrees on what Shmuel ever said. Amar Rav Chiya bar Rabban, Amar Rav Ma'arvan b'pas adoshim. You're allowed to use lentil bread. I guess they had a way to file it, ground it down so that they can make bread out of it. So he says, Eini, is that really true? V'ahi, there was this case, the Habib B'shnei Demar Shmuel. There was a person that lived in the years of Shmuel. The Shadjil Kalbet, v'loyachla, he refused to eat it. He threw it to the dog. It was dog food, which dog food is not considered people food. So we see that people normally don't use lentil bread. So the Gemara answers, Ahud Dashar Minun Havi, that was really made up of other foods. It wasn't really made out of lentils. Lentils would have been okay. Now, where do we see bread is called other foods? The Chsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, V'atakach lecha chitim, v'sa'irin, v'pul, v'adoshim, v'doichim, v'kusman, it was made up of a whole bunch of things, and it calls it pas in that Pasuk. So we see that bread is also is made up of things, of different types of ingredients, and that's still considered bread. However, for purposes of an Erev, duchen will be adoshim will be okay. Rapapa Amar Hu Tzuluya B'Tzoyas Adam Havi. Over there, the case was the reason why he threw it to the dog was because it was baked using heat generated from dung of a person, which is creates a bad smell. It doesn't taste good. So for an animal, it's okay, but for a person, would never eat it. So that's not considered bread. It looked good to their eyes, but they wouldn't eat it. At the end of the pasuk says, and they ate barley bread. So Amar Rav Chista lishi urim, that they ate bread that had the weight of barley, which is a heavier bread, and they ate those types of breads, not necessarily made out of sa'irim. Rav Papa Amar irvasa ki irvasa sa'irim. Now what they did was they shaped the bread like you would shape barley bread. And not the way you would shape wheat bread. Apparently wheat, I'm not a baker, I don't know this, but apparently wheat is easier to form to control it and to form it and to make it look nicer. Whereas barley is kind of all over the place. It doesn't hold together as well and it doesn't shape as well. So that's what he meant, that he gave it, he made it, of course we're talking about regular bread, but he shaped it like seirim bread, that it didn't look as nice, and therefore it was not the same quality. So those are the various what? Right. So fine. Now, so there are different types of breads that you can use bread, and it basically has to be people food bread in order to be used for an Erev. Now we talk about, so of course we said it's the best way to put it together is to use food. How about if I don't have food, so I go over to my neighbor and I say, here's a dollar, why don't we be mishtata together? So the Mishnah starts with a different case. Let's say I happen to have a grocer who's in my neighborhood, in my chatzar, and I give him a dollar and I say, ulanachtam, and to the baker, kadesh yizkalay eriv, in order that he should be mizak with my eriv. In other words, I say, listen, when they come around collecting and they're going to collect from you, here's a dollar. When you give that loaf of bread, have my dollar in mind. You know, you'll give a portion of it, and my dollar will also be a portion of that loaf of bread we'll give together. So, Rabbi Eliezer says that's fine because I gave him, I paid him for it, and he's giving on our behalf. His money does not work. Because the problem is when you walk into a grocery store and you give the guy a dollar, the guy thinks he's making a sale. He doesn't think that you're making him into a shliach, and as a shliach, he's going to be mishtatef on your behalf. And since he doesn't think he's being your shliach, you don't think he's being your shliach, and therefore you never really relied on him in the first place. So if you didn't rely on him in the first place, that he can't be your shliach, and it doesn't work, you're going to have to contribute on your own later. That's according to the Shita Chachamim. That if you're a regular person, that's only because you walked into a grocer. You walk into a grocery store, the guy thinks he's doing a business deal. You give him a dollar, what does he think about it? He puts it in his cash register. But if you walk over to your neighbor, some friends, and you hand him a dollar and say, hey, listen, why don't we do this together? So he thinks of it in terms of making him into a shlecha. That works. She'ain ma'arvin la'odim ala midaita, because the point over here is you have to, in order for Erev to work, it has to be that people know and they have your agreement on what they're doing. And as we explained in the first case, the case of the grocer, he doesn't think that he's doing it on your behalf. So there's no das. The chasarn is, since he doesn't think he's doing it on your behalf, you don't think he's doing it on your behalf. So he, when he actually does contribute on your behalf, he's actually doing it shalom das. You didn't know, you didn't acknowledge it, so therefore it doesn't work. I'm Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Huda now says, "B'med dvar mamurim." When do we say that it works? Be'erev tchumin. Sorry, that it doesn't work is be'erev tchumin. By an erev tchumin, where there's a chesaron, because if I make an erev in one direction, then I'm losing out on the other direction. Aval be'erev chatzeres. But when we're joining in an erev chatzer, where everybody really gains, there's everything to gain and nothing to lose. So ma'arvin l'daita v'shaloi l'daita. I don't really need his permission. I don't really need his das, because it's as if he, of course, he agrees. Why wouldn't he want? Why wouldn't he want, as we'll see in the case in the Gemara, there's a case where he wouldn't, but why wouldn't he want that I should join in my chatzar? And the logic to, behind this is, L'fisha sachan la'ad n'shalai b'fanav, v'enchapan la'ad n'shalai b'fanav, is a famous line, that because you could always, when something is to somebody's benefit, when it works to his benefit, we always allow them to do something even without his das, because I can make a schus, I can do it as chus on his behalf, either mitam shlichus, mitam schia, whatever the lumdus is, but I can always do something for a person's benefit, even if he doesn't know about it, because the mistama would agree to it. Now, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. My time is the Rabbi Eliezer. What's the logic of Rabbi Eliezer that says when I give money to my storekeeper that it works to make him a shliach? Halay moshach. The problem over here is, when he took my dollar, there was no kinyan, because as we're going to see in a second, the din is like this. Mina teira, when I give you a dollar, and the purpose of the dollar is to buy something, the second you take my dollar, you made the kinyan. The taking the mashicha of the dollar, the dollar itself has the power to acquire. However, midrabbanon, the rabbanon say, as we'll see why, the rabbanon say that your money doesn't work. You have to actually make a meshicha, you have to make a proper kinyan, to effectuate a kinyan, it has to be done on the object upon which you're making the kinyan, not the money. So that's the Gemara's question over here. Halay moshach, I never made a meshicha on the loaf of bread, I just gave you a dollar and said, you know, when you get to it, take care of it. So where's the kinyan? How did I make a meshliach? So I'm Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Asa Rav Elazar, Kedalit Prokin Bishana. Rav Elazar said that since we want an Erev to work, we're gonna make this an exception to the rule, similar to the way the Chachamim made exceptions to the rule. There are four times of the year where, again, even though we have this rule normally that money doesn't work to make a kinyan, there are four times in the year where the Rabbanan want that everybody should have meat for Yontif. So they say, if somebody walks into a butcher shop and hands the guy a dollar, he must give you a piece of meat. The dollar itself is the kinyan. And therefore, even if he doesn't have an animal available, he has to shecht the whole animal just to give you a piece of meat. The kitzer, so normally money doesn't work. In those four cases, the Chachamim say it does work, as we'll see in the Mishnah in a second. And the Rabbi Lozer said, in the case of Erev, and also because we want it to work, we're going to allow money to work, even though, again, it's an exception to the rule. Where is this? Where do we see this concept? At the time, we learned in the Mishnah, B'dala Prakim Elu, in these four times, Mashchitin Ez HaTavach, a butcher has to shecht Baal Karcha even against his will. Afilu Shar Shava El of Dinner, even if the cow is $1,000, Ein Lo Yakech El of Dinner. And the guy walking into the butcher shop only has $1. Echad Koifin Ay Say Lishchot. We say that the butcher has to shop because we want everybody to have meat for Yontif. The four times are Erev Pesach, Erev Shavuos, Erev Yom Kippur, or Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the second day is of Sukkos. Okay, and Tosfos says the first day is of Sukkos, you can't force the butcher because not everybody's buying meat because everybody's too busy putting together their lulav and putting up their sukkah. That's what Tosfos says. In any event, so there's four times a year you could force the butcher to sell. Lefichach, therefore, since when he took your money, the kinyan was finished, so imeis, meisel lekech. Now let's say, I say, okay, fine, I'll give you a piece of meat, I'm gonna shecht this animal, Betsy over here, and then Betsy dies. So what happens? So I say, okay, I took your dollar and Betsy died, it's not my problem anymore. And therefore, meis, lekech. So the Gemara says, meisel lekech, why does it the lekech's problem? All he did was halay moshach, he didn't make a mashicha on the cow. So I'm Rav Huna, b'shem moshach. So we would have said, okay, these are the exception to the rule. But Rav Huna says, no, b'shem moshach. The case is where I didn't actually make a kinyan on the cow, but rather the butcher had somebody in the store that makes the kinyan on the cow on your behalf. And therefore, the second you gave me the money, the guy who made the kinyan on the cow on your behalf makes it your cow, and if it dies, it's your problem. So, so let's see. If the case is that somebody else made a kinyan on it, so what, how do you explain the second half of the mission? It says, Bashar Yemais Hashanah, the rest of the year, Einoi Kain. It's not true, meaning the dollar, the kinyan on the dollar doesn't work. So if the cow dies, it's the butcher's problem. Now, I don't understand. Amai, Homashach. According to what we just said, the case was that he made a mashicha, that he had somebody in the store make a mashicha on the cow for you. So why isn't it yours? Why is it the butcher's problem if the animal dies? Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Lo'ilom B'Shaloi Mashach. No, like we explained before, really the case is you didn't make a kinyan. Hachav Ma'askinam B'Shazicha Lo'ayaday Acher, that it's that someone else made the kinyan on your behalf, and so what? V'Dalid Prakam Elu Dischus Huloi. In the normal four times, in those four times of the year where Chazal wanted you to have meat, so it was a complete schus Zachon Lo'ayaday Shaloi B'Fanav. So we make that guy who made the kinyan on your behalf made the kinyan for your sake, even without your acknowledgement, and therefore it became yours. Over here, where I'd say, you know what, I don't really want the meat until I get the meat, so I don't really want him making a kinyan. So now, you can't do this without your permission. So the fact that somebody behind the curtain in the back of the shop made a kinyan on it is not your problem the rest of the year, because it's not mine. I don't really want the kinyan until I get the meat. So those dalit prokim, we say it's yours right away, because it's a schus, and the other times of the year it's not a schus, so we don't make it yours. That's Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok's answer. Rav Ilo says a different test. B'dal prakam elu, going back to what we said before. Hemidu chachamim divreyam al divrei Torah. Really, nobody made a kinyan on it. However, as we said, really minat Torah money works. So they said, on these four times a year, we want you to have the meat so badly, the second you give the dollar, the kinyan is done. So we say, you know, minat Torah that works. So we're going to allow the din Torah to apply. Really, minat Torah, we really, once you give the money, it already, the kinyan is complete. So why do we say that normally money doesn't work and you have to make a proper mashicha to effectuate a kinyan? Because we're afraid the guy's going to say that your wheat burnt in the attic. In other words, this is a famous case from the Gemara Bava Metzia. The Gemara says like this, what's going to happen? If I go over, let's say I wanted to buy a silo of your grain. So if minadin, the second you pay me the $1,000, the kinyan is complete, where is the grain? You gave me the $1,000, I put the $1,000 in my pocket, but where is the grain? The grain is still in my silo. And where are you? You're standing next to me when you gave me the $1,000. So the grain is technically yours, however, but it's in my rishus. So if something were to happen, there was an infection or a fire or something like that, who's going to really take care of the grain? Nobody. Because you're standing someplace else, and it's in my rishus, and I already sold it to you, so it's your loss, I could care less, so I'm not going to take care of it. So Chazal didn't want that to happen. That was very bad for commerce. So they didn't want that to happen. So what they said was, you know what? The wheat is the responsibility of the person whose rishus it is in. So even though he put down the $1,000, it's very nice. $1,000 doesn't work until he actually makes a mashicha on the grain itself. And this way he can't say, Nisrfu chitecha ba'aliyah, means your wheat burnt. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't deliver anything. Not my problem. Thank you very much for the money. See you next time. So Chazal said, no, it doesn't work that way. Just because he gave you the money, it's still yours. The wheat is still the original owner's problem, and he has to take care of it and make sure to deliver it. And when he delivers it, then that's when the kinyan works and the money becomes mine. In any event, same thing is going to be true over here also. Typically, we say that money doesn't work. However, by Eirvin, since we want the Eirv to be Chal, we say we are going to allow the money to make a kinyan. This is another exception to the rule, just like we have an exception to the rule when the guy is buying meat on Erev Yontif, the second he gives the money, the kinyan is Chal. All right, so that explains Rabbi Elazar Shita why by just giving the money it works. Now, the Chachamim disagree and they say no, that normally Mashiach doesn't work and there's no Smichas Das. However, but they say by a regular person, the giving when he gives you the dollar, since I'm not in the business of giving money, I'm not in the business of selling, so obviously when I took the dollar, I took it with the understanding that you were being Mishtatif with me. So the Gemara asks, Man Shar Kol Adam, what do you mean everybody else? So Amar Rav, Balabais, it means a regular person who's not in business. V'chein Amar Shmuel, Balabais, we're talking about a person who just happens to be your neighbor. Darmar Shmuel, Loishan Uel Anachta. The only time we say that it doesn't work is because he's a baker, he's in business. Aval Balabais, kind of, but by Balabais, when I give you money, then you understand that I'm giving you the money for the purpose of being Mishtatif with whatever you're going to contribute later. Darmar Shmuel, Loishan Uel Amo. It's only talking about where there's a problem when I give you money. Because once again, when I walk into a grocery shop, I usually hand them money. avo kli, but if I hand you a kli, kinda, then it works. Because a kli also, it's not, again, Chazal say, mois einin koyes. They don't allow money to work. But if I give you a kli, then it's a proper kinyan. Once I make a proper kinyan, then half the loaf of bread is mine. So when you contribute that loaf of bread, it's half for your sake and half for my sake, so of course that's gonna work. The only time, again, it's a problem with the Erev is if I say, you should be zoiche for me. In other words, I want you to be a kinyan. I want to make a kinyan. So then the kinyan doesn't work because money doesn't make a kinyan. Aval omar arevli, but I say, make an Erev for me. I appointed you a shliach. Shliach shavya. So and then I made you a shliach, and of course I can make you a shliach, and I'm nice enough to give you money, and I make a kinyan on your shlichos. So then, of course, you can contribute on my behalf. So again, when you look at the Mishnah, the Chachamim say it doesn't work to give the guy money to contribute on my behalf. That is only a very limited case. It's a case where he's a businessman, so money to him doesn't mean anything until you effectuate a kinyan. And also, you did not say to him, it has to be that you gave him money and not something else. And it also has to be that you said to him that I'm doing a business transaction, be cleaner, as opposed to saying I'm making you my appointed shliach. If, even a grocer, if you say I'm appointing you as my shliach, of course you can make him a shliach also, and the kinyan works. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'medvar Amar Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama, and he says, when do we say that they have the issue over here of whether or not the Svichas Das and he agrees to make the Eiriv? He's only talking about where there's an issue of a Tchum, where there's something to lose out. But when you're dealing with a Chatzar where everybody gains, there's no reason why he would object, and of course we could do it even when he doesn't know. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halachuk Rabbi Yehuda. That's how we paskin that the only time it's a problem if there's some sort of loss involved. But if there's total gain, even Rabbi Yehuda says everybody would agree that the Erev is chal. And not only that, so not only do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in this case, but actually any place Rabbi Yehuda says the halacha in Hilchas Erevin, halacha kamoisoi, we always paskin like him. So Amalei Rav Chana. So in all of Masechtas Erev and Lechayru, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So Amalei Rav Chana Bagdoso. So Rav Chana from Baghdad said, Le Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. He says, Afilu b'mavoi shenitol kairoisa v'lechayev. So you're going to say that that's true even according to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita that says, that let's say my lechi fell down in the middle of Shabbos, so we say the halacha is that it's mutter for that Shabbos and not any further. So we're going to paskin even that kula over there we hold like him? Amarlei, so he said, you're right, that's not what I meant. Be'erivin amarti l'cho v'loi b'mechitzos. That's not a din in Erev. That's a din in mechitzos. Whether or not that's a real wall, if it falls down in the middle of Shabbos, so then it's a hilchus mechitza issue. In hilchus mechitza, we don't necessarily paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and if the wall fell down, then you don't have proper walls, you don't have a proper mechitza. You don't have a proper Erev. But when you're dealing with stam, whether the Erev is chal, it's a din in Erev, and then in Hanami, we always follow Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Amalei Ravacha b'rei d'rav l'ravashi. So Ravacha says, if you're paskening like Rabbi Yehuda, halacha michlal de pligi. So you're telling me that this is Rabbi Yehuda's shita, but somebody else argues. Otherwise, if everybody agreed with this, then I wouldn't have to tell you we paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. If everybody's shita, then of course there's nothing to talk about. That of course becomes the halacha. So you're telling me that there's a machlekes over here, v'amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, komokam sh'amar Rabbi Yehuda emasai ubameh. That anytime you have Rabbi Yehuda and a Mishnah, and he uses the word emasai to explain the Tanakam. He says, when do we say this? Or he uses the word bamed, varmamun. He uses the words, when did you, chacham, the guy before me in the Mishnah say this, then blah, blah, blah. So, but Mishnah say, anytime he says that in the Mishnah, ena el lefarish divrei chachamim. He's not coming to argue, he's coming to say, this is what you meant to say in the first place. So again, why are you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? If Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says, b'medvar mamurim, that means Rabbi Yehuda is coming to further explain the Chachamim Shita, and really everybody agrees. If everybody agrees, then I don't have to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. That's just the norm. Everybody holds that way. So what are you telling me this machlokes is for? Manantanan. Right, v'hanantanam, we learned in a Mishnah, nitoisvaleh moisifu mazakeh v'tzarech la'adiyah. And we learned in the previous Mishnah that says that if more people come in to the chatzar in the middle of Shabbos, you have to add in extra food and you have to tell them. Which means that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing. So Rabbi Yehuda says you have to tell them, and according to what Rabbi Yehuda over here in our Mishnah, that's what the Mishnah over there says. The Mishnah says if extra people come and I want to contribute more food, I have to tell them. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah on the top of the Yomid, it says, well, if everybody would gain, I don't even have to bother telling them. Of course he wants us to contribute on his behalf. So, does he argue or does he agree? So the Gemara answers, Hasso b'chotzer sheven shnei mevois. Really, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah agrees. And he's coming to explain the Chachamim further that I don't have to tell them. You have the case over there that says I do have to tell them if more people came into the chotzer. That's a case where you have one chotzer that's between two mevois. And The problem is that if he, this chutzer joins one mavoi, the Rabbeinu Chananel on the bottom of the Yomid explains that if he joins one chutzer, one mavoi, by definition he became usher on the other mavoi, unless of course he made special arrangements. But al pi pashtos, when he joins one mavoi, he's actually excluding himself from the other mavoi, and that's why over there you have to let the guy know and he has to agree, because there's a potential that it actually works out to his detriment. When did we say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees? Rabbi Yehuda does agree. Whenever it's fully benefit, when it's beneficial for everybody and there's no downside, of course he would agree that it's part of that, that he, you don't even have to ask his permission. Over here, however, the case is, the reason why you had to ask his permission is because there is a downside. By joining this mavui, by definition, he's not joining the other mavui, and then all of a sudden, now you have to ask him, which mavui would you rather, do you have a preference? You can't do something behind the guy's back. Okay, so really we want to say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees. The Gemara says, "V'amar Rav Shiz v'yamar Rav Chista zoysumeres chalukin alav chaver al Rabbi Yehuda." If you remember last week, we learned the Gemara that says, "No, the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda is he actually is arguing. He's not just defining the chachamim. He actually argues on the chachamim, and he says, no, you have to ask his permission in every case. And it's not just. And Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to ask, but the chachamim are arguing on Rabbi Yehuda. So you can't say that this is an explanation. It's just a special case." So the Gemara says, "Elo gavra gavra karamis the top of pebez amadalis." But Marsava Pligi and Marsava Loi Pligi, you're right. There's actually two ways to explain Rabbi Yehuda Shita. One way is to explain Rabbi Yehuda Shita that he is arguing, in which case we don't necessarily paskin like him, or he doesn't necessarily agree with the Chachamim. We may paskin like him because we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but the point is that he's arguing on the Chachamim. And then there's another Shita that says, you're right, maybe Rabbi Yehuda really isn't arguing, and Rabbi Yehuda really agrees with the Chachamim. And over there, it was a special scenario, it was a special case that you needed permission according to Rabbi Yehuda because there was a downside. But Anachanami, but really, wherever there's only an upside and there's no downside, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with the Chachamim that you don't have to ask his permission. It's automatically understood that permission is granted and the Erev is going to be good. So we have a machlokes over here whether or not Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Chachamim or he agrees with the Chachamim, and it's two different shitas to explain Rabbi Yehuda. If he's arguing, then he argues through and through. If he's agreeing, then Anachanami, we don't have to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda because we paskin like everybody, and Rabbi Yehuda is just another shita like the Chachamim.